Hello and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 279 main event. Dun, dun, dun. Hamzat Chimaev taking on Nate Diaz. Okay. I could literally talk to you for an hour about this, and there is evidence of that because my breakdown show is an hour long and I don't talk about anything else other than this fight. There is so much that we could discuss with this. Oh, in fact, I might as well grab my notes out and put them on the table, Jamie, because I can refer to all this. I've tried to make my notes a bit more succinct, but it's not working very well. Does that still make... Can they still... Okay, here we go. So that's my timeline. That's my playlist from the show. This is my tale of the tape. Now, Chimaev, of course, is 11-0, undefeated. 6 knockouts, 4 wins by submission. 2 rear naked chokes, 2 darces. Nice and clean, nice and simple record. He's also 3-0 as an amateur. 1 knockout, 1 guillotine and 1 darce. Nate Diaz on the other side, 21-13 is his record. 5 knockouts, 11 submissions. 4 triangles, 4 guillotines, a rear naked choke, an armbar, and a key lock. And then he also had 3 submissions on The Ultimate Fighter. One of each, in fact. A triangle, a guillotine, and a rear naked choke. He is ranked 4th for sub attempts with 25. Nate Diaz, of course, his skill in this one is on the floor. People always talk about Nate Diaz's boxing, but we have to put this into perspective. And this is why, if you've already watched the co-main event War Room, you'll understand already the knockdown ratio, because I've just explained it in that show. I will explain it again for this one, but I won't do it every week, because I want you to start trying to understand what I'm saying. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. Oh, where do I start with this one? I literally spent 5 days researching this one, and my brain turned to mush at one point and then formed like a hard cheese, and now it seems to be working fine again. So, Nate Diaz is a high-volume striker. He's ranked 4th for total strikes among all active fighters in the UFC. He's been around for a long time. He turned pro in 2004. He's had an epic career, which has gone through The Ultimate Fighter and then through the lightweight division and then to welterweight and then back to lightweight to a title shot and back to welterweight. Like, the story that he's given us, and you know, all of that was before that 2016, that doubleheader against McGregor, which was really what kind of, I mean, he was already a star, but that made him a superstar. That was 2016. September 2017, Chimaev made his amateur debut. So let's just put that into perspective. Because when Nate made his pro debut in 2004, Chimaev was 10. So the timelines of this one are crazy. And if you look at Chimaev versus Diaz right now, it's not a realistic perspective of what Diaz brings to the table. Like, what we expect him to bring to the table is based on, what, 18 years of professional fighting. Not the last few fights, which have not been the best, particularly, of course, the last two. I feel like him landing that left hand against Leon it's kind of backfired a little bit, because had he not landed that and he'd have just been shut out for the whole fight, we wouldn't, you know, I'm doing it as well. We're all Diaz fans. Everybody's a Diaz fan. If you're an MMA fan, you're a Diaz fan. It's very hard to dislike them because they represent something that we all love, which is defiance. That's exactly what's found him in this situation right now. Because what's happened is he's been offered 2 fights by the UFC. They've offered him Diaz Trilogy, or they've offered him Chimaev, which is why he was calling out Poirier, because he knew the UFC was going to play this game. And that's exactly what's happened. So he's backed himself into a corner. He said, I'm not fighting McGregor. I'm not relaunching his career in the UFC and giving you that massive payday. They backed him into a corner and he's got Chimaev. And literally backed into a corner. Like, The Dosbrack picture, I've talked about it before. I just love it. It really captures the essence of this fight for me. It's Diaz looking at a fire escape with the exit sign lit up in big red above it, and Chimaev is sitting on top of it, and Uncle Dana is through the glass on the other side. And that's what it feels like. This feels like Diaz is fighting his way out of his contract, and it is going to be a hell of a fight. So, where am I? I'm all over the place. So, quick time. So, as we talked about, timeline is everything for this one for me. 2016, he fought McGregor twice. That was the last time he won by submission, the rear naked choke. Then he was out for 3 years. Back in August of 2019 against Pettis, that was his last win, August of 2019. July of 2020 is when Chimaev made his UFC debut, and within 10 days he fought twice and he added two big wins to his record and immediately got the whole MMA world going, hang on a minute, this guy needs a title shot. Like, we all kind of felt that watching those performances. And of course, you know, they're not, you know, he wasn't fighting world beaters at the time, but as he's progressed through, I mean, what he did to the Leech was, I just never seen anybody do that to him before. He made him look like a big child and he manhandled him. Of course, the Gilbert Burns fight was a bit of an insight into maybe what Diaz can do to get himself into this. This is where the championship rounds will come into play. Because for me, it's all about Diaz dragging this out into the later rounds. I kind of felt like he understood that against Leon. I felt like he learned that lesson against Masvidal, because within the first minute of Masvidal, he was clinched and he was starting to get elbowed. And once he gets cut, then that sand is trickling away and he's running out of time, because the doctor at any point can step in and then there's nothing clear cut. Not really the right term to use. There's nothing clear cut about that decision. It's all based on what that doctor's opinion of that cut is and whether Diaz should be able to continue or not. Now, of course, in the Masvidal fight, he wasn't able to continue. And had he not got cut in the first minute, he might have been able to extend that fight a bit longer. And he was starting to tag Masvidal a little bit in that third round. Like, this is the thing, is if his skin can hold together long enough, he can keep himself in the fight for long enough to find the bottom of Chimaev's gas tank. And that's kind of what we're all waiting on. Because I kind of, honestly, I don't see many other ways for him to do this. So Chimaev won two fights back-to-back in July. August, he was out, back in September of July of 2020, up at middleweight. In 17 seconds, he'd knocked out Gerald Meerschaert. Now, I don't think that Diaz would have a problem outboxing Meerschaert, but I don't think he'd be able to knock him out in the first round, let alone the first minute. And that comes back to the knockdown ratio, which I'm going to explain in a second. Chimaev has that power in his right hand to catch Diaz and put him out with one shot. I truly believe that. And I don't think that most people would agree with me because, well, you know, Diaz has never been put out on his back. He doesn't need to. He needs to put him down and then elbow him. He needs to put him down and cut him. There are lots of different ways for Chimaev to win this one. A lot of them is about Diaz's skin holding together. And I'm going to keep coming back to that point. So after winning the fight in August against Pettis, he went on to fight the BMF belt. And that was still before Chimaev made his debut. Then he was out for a good while, and this is when Chimaev had started his UFC career. He beat Meerschaert. He got COVID in December of 2020 and then announced he was retiring in March of 2021. Just after this was when Diaz had his last fight against Edwards. The consistent thing about Diaz's last two fights is that he got cut pretty badly in both of them. Now, in the Masvidal fight, that was an old cut, which opened up in 2008 against Kurt Pellegrino, and a new cut under his cheek here. Against Leon, he was cut here in the third round and here. So fresh scar tissue from his last two fights. Again, the closer he gets to Chimaev, the sooner, the more likely he's going to be of getting cut. And then that 25 minutes is not guaranteed anymore. If you look at the first opening minute against Masvidal, he closed distance quickly and they were clinched. If you look at it against Leon, he kind of played and he was like posturing. He was doing some very Nick Diaz things. You know, he was like basically showboating and you know, messing with him. But at the same time, killing time, like burning out some time on that clock. At the same time as they're standing there, you know, ready to fight Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is cruising and coasting and he's like, okay, let me just burn a minute here. And then I'll walk him down and slap him with it. Then I'll walk away and I'll point at him. You know, he plays these games very well. And I think he's going to be doing a lot of that against Chimaev in the first round, if Chimaev gives him the space. Most likely Chimaev's going to come out the gate like he did against John Phillips. He's going to close him down. He's going to try and hit him hard. And I think he's going to try and wrestle him, because I think he wants to prove that he can take Nate down and shut him down. And if he does that, that's all risks off the table for Chimaev, because if he can control Nate in the ground, that's the way that Nate's going to win this fight. Now, when it comes to their striking power, of course, Chimaev has got that 17-second knockout over Meerschaert, but he did land a bunch of shots. He landed 124 punches against Gilbert Burns. he's not murdering people with every single shot, but there is definitely the possibility that he's going to land and do damage to Nate early. Nate doesn't have that same power. Nate has volume. Like I said, he's fourth for total strikes landed among active fighters. 2,386 strikes he's landed. But he's only scored 4 knockdowns. So this is where I started to get onto this, the knockout ratio. So let me explain this. Hang on a minute. Let me go back. Oh, I'm still recording this same file, Jamie. You'll have to split them. You'll be fine. Okay, so here we go. Nate Diaz. So 2,386 strikes landed to 4 knockdowns. So that is, this is not a good number, 595.5 strikes per knockdown. That's a lot of strikes. If you refer back to the previous war room for the co-main event, Tony Ferguson's knockdown ratio is 208.6 per knockdown, and the leech is 80.3, just to give you some perspective. Just to give you some perspective, Dustin Poirier, who is also on the rankings for total strikes landed, is also on the rankings for knockdowns landed, and his is 145.3 per knockdown. Like, that is a lot of strikes that he has to land to score one knockdown. Do you think he's going to be able to hurt Chimaev? I don't think he is. But if he's able to land that amount of strikes and not get hurt, then that's when it starts to get interesting. Because the times when Diaz lands and hurts are the moments when people have gotten tired and exhausted or taken their eyes off the prize. They start to underestimate him. He's a bloody mess. I'll be able to catch him right now. And that's when it starts to backfire on them. Just as a comparison to this on the other side, Chimaev has landed 378 strikes for 2 knockdowns. And of course, he hasn't had many fights. And we have to also bear in mind that a lot of those strikes are landed on the floor to 2 knockdowns. His knockdown score is still 189 per knockdown. I mean, that just reads doom for me if I'm Nate Diaz. I don't want to be standing boxing with him. I want to make him work until he's tired, and then I want to slap the hell out of him and try and make him level change into a guillotine. So if I'm putting a game plan together for Diaz, what am I doing? I'm going, okay, look, burn time in the first round. Mess with him a little bit, clinch with him a little bit, but just keep yourself safe and let him work. Let him be the one that pushes the pace. And then you kind of just ride whatever's going on. He's very good at keeping scrambles going, but I don't think he's going to be able to stop Chimaev taking him down. I just think he can keep him moving on the floor. The danger is, of course, taking damage. Then I think initiating grappling against Chimaev might be smart, because we've seen him do it we saw him do it against Don Young Kim. We saw him do it against Rory McDonald. You know, it's quite consistent against welterweights. I think that's where his marathon conditioning comes into play, because if he can make him work and then step out and slap a little bit and attack his neck and, you know, just kind of make it like a continuous pace for Chimaev, he's going to be able to get him into those deeper waters where you really don't know what Chimaev's going to look like. I mean, he looked tired at points against Gilbert Burns. He landed 124 strikes and wasn't able to put Burns out. He took 141 strikes from Burns. There is a point when Nate can work his way into this fight. There is a point when Nate's strikes do become effective, but his opponent has to already have been through the mill, and that's the point when Nate's also going through the mill. That's when Nate is also taking damage. What haven't I talked about? Okay. The last TKO on Nate's record was Gray Maynard in 2013. The last submission on his record was Conor McGregor in 2016. His last win was against Anthony Pettis in 2019. We're all expecting this to be a pretty dominant fight for Chimaev. The thing we're holding on to, the thing that everybody's holding on to, and I'm a huge Chimaev fan, I just don't think this is the right fight for him. He's 11-0 as a welterweight slash middleweight, and Nate is 4-6 as a lightweight, as a welterweight. 16-7 as a lightweight, but, you know, Chimaev is just a big, strong, powerful individual. Now, there isn't much in height and reach. Chimaev's got 2 inches in height compared to Nate, but Nate's got a 1-inch reach advantage, which is going to be much of a muchness in this one. The one other thing I do want to mention as well is the left-hand, right-hand dominance. Of course, Nate is all about that left hand, and he's always in a southpaw stance unless his lead leg's taken a shell in. Then he does switch, but you can tell he's not comfortable. He also, that's his guillotining arm as well. He also wraps people up with that arm, so keep an eye out for that. There's another show going to be on the channel. Just keep an eye out for that. I explain a bit more about the way that Nate grips. He goes under the chin, then over the arm, and keeps himself locked into his opponent. It's a really nice guillotine. And I can certainly see, you know, end of the fourth, fifth round, if Chimaev does start to show some fatigue, which is still a question, and Nate's there just whack, 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 Chimaev could level change into that guillotine / triangle / rear naked choke. There's a nice sequence there for Nate. I'm going to tell you about one more thing, because if you've seen the other show, you've seen my little octagon. The reason I've drawn this is because it's difficult to explain how amazing the Chimaev-Mershart finish is, because it's so quick, 17 seconds. It's easy to just kind of write it off as, well, Mershart got backed up against the fence and he got taken out. But there was quite a lot happening. Now, so if we imagine Chimaev is red, so he's going to start here, and he's going to move straight out into the center. So when he touches gloves, this is where he is. Mershart, on the other hand, has walked out from his corner and has stayed here. So that's where they've touched gloves. Now what happens is we're going to see Chimaev posture and push a little bit in this direction. So this is going to start to encourage Mershart to move away, which... Oh, no, Wolverine's fallen. There we go. Which is ideal for Chimaev, because it's moving Mershart towards his right hand, southpaw the orthodox, going to be the same as against Nate. So Mershart starts to do this. He starts to circle, and then he cuts across. He tries to get into the center. He comes down here, and then he cuts across. And Chimaev's followed him. So now Chimaev's moved into this spot, and he's seen Mershart cut a corner, so he's going to turn and face him. He's going to throw a front kick, which is going to push Mershart back. Now Mershart's going to be over here. He's going to be back over towards where Chimaev started in the first place. And Chimaev, of course, is going to fill that space. This is now the point where Mershart can't get off the fence, because Chimaev is now edging himself towards that black line on the inside of the octagon. And Mershart is going to start to kind of coast around this space here and try and maintain some space, at the same time as Chimaev cutting right across there and cutting him off. And there's a little feint here. A little double jab there that he throws. Then he pushes him here and he feints again with the double jab. And what that does is it closes that door once more, so Mershart continues moving. This is the point where he now starts to get tangled up against the fence, which is ideal for Chimaev, because Chimaev's just going to continue pressuring him. And what's going to happen is Mershart's going to bring himself around here, and he's going to find himself trapped up against the fence and stuck there, and that's the end of the fight. Now, I know that looks a little bit confusing, but what you've seen Chimaev do is come straight across and touch gloves, start pushing Mershart around towards his right hand. Mershart's tried to cut the center, so he's kicked him back out to the outside of the cage, and then he's filled that space, and then he's kept him up against the space, up against the fence here. And like, if you think about this from Mershart's perspective, if you get stuck in a corner here, if I'm stuck in this corner here and I'm Mershart, and Chimaev is standing right in front of me here, as I said in the last episode, all of that space is now Chimaev's. Like, you've got to imagine the claustrophobia that Gerald Mershart feels, because he can't get to any of that space without going through Chimaev. And he's been put here without being really hit. I mean, the kick didn't really do anything. He was already moving away before it landed. That is through sheer presence from Chimaev. That is him being able to walk his opponent down, shows the double jab, closes the door, shows the double jab, closes the door. And eventually, you get Chimaev going across, sweep, kick, push, 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 KO. And on the other side, you've got Mershart, who comes out, touches gloves, and he gets swept, he gets pushed, and then he gets trapped up against the fence until he gets knocked out. I wish there was an easier way for me to explain it, but that's the way it looks in my head. And the way I watch, when I watch that fight play out, I think to myself, that is just pure control of the space, patience. There's a couple of times when, like, over in this, where's my other color? Over in this area and this area, there's a couple of moments where you'll see Chimaev just kind of double pump his lead hand, pump, pump, because he's trying to get Mershaw into the right line for this cross. Watch it again. You'll see the way that this plays out. It's just beautiful footwork, beautiful control by Chimaev. And with that kind of patience and with that kind of striking ability, as well as the stats that back it up with his punching power, the longer this fight is on the feet and Nate is trying to box with Chimaev, the sooner he's going to get caught with something that is either going to put him out or put him down and in a vulnerable position, rocks, where he's starting to take some more shots. Like, Nate's been armbarred once way back in his career. I think Chimaev might be able to douse him if he's tired and bloody enough. We've not seen Nate be stopped, properly stopped, since Josh Thompson, and that really wasn't, he wasn't out, out. He wasn't out, out, Mickey Flanagan. He was kind of rocked. He was like, he got took a massive kick to the side of the head like a baseball bat, and he's still there trying to scrap. Like, he's incredibly tough, but there just comes a point when your opponent's a little bit too much. And I kind of feel like that might be the situation here. I said it to close out the breakdown show, and I'm going to say it again for you guys right now, because it rings true on every level for this fight. I'm a big Diaz fan. I'm a big Chimaev fan. I'm excited to see him make his way to the belt. I'm a big Diaz fan. I'm disappointed to see him having this last fight on his UFC contract like this, when we could have had Tony Ferguson or Dustin Poirier or whoever. Anybody, I don't even really care that it wasn't McGregor. I just want a more forgiving fight for someone at this stage in his career. Pro since 2004. Amazing. Conor McGregor might have taken everything he worked for, but Chimaev may well take everything he's got left. Enjoy the fights.